When we listen to the radio, we never agree on the station.
Classic rock.
Hip-hop. Pop.
Guys, quiet. The one thing we do agree on, we all want an awesome free phone. That's why we switched to MetroPCS.
Stop by MetroPCS with the whole family and get four free phones of your choice from brands you love, like Samsung, Motorola, and LG when you switch. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Free phone requires port. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Blog Talk Radio.
And this is Ralph Pointer, What's Happening, Blog Talk Radio. And it's interesting to experience in the year 2017 what it means to go back to the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
We're saying, what people does history reveal have consistently raped others across this continent? And how is this reality affecting us today? And again, we're also saying, obviously from the latest legislation passed in Congress, the rich continue to get richer. And we welcome anyone to join us who understands that an anatomy of oppression requires an anatomy of colonialism and imperialism, requires an anatomy of the American capitalist economic system. And as usual, we have our regular suspects, our usual warriors. And so without further ado, at a time when they're bringing slavery back into the world, at a time when they are using children for their organ parts at a time when they are passing legislation to take away all the gains of the working class in the last 50 to 60 years. We want to turn the mic over to Brother Ralph Pointer and have him tell us what's happening.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. What I believe, the overriding element in every situation or circumstance in a black life is racism. Birth, elementary school, housing, health, food, etc. Black lives have never mattered except during slavery and other circumstances where money is being made by our laborers for others. The modern death penalty, 80% black, move lynching indoors. The police, as the army of occupation, have taken lynching outside again. The lynch mob is the racist system, including the courts and the media. And because the lives of our heroes and sheroes who once protected us in our community do not matter to us, the people, our political prisoners are now dying in captivity. They are tortured and isolated. Only armed struggle can recreate our image in our own minds as well as the minds of others. Wake up. Now is the time. And now, continuing with the program, history, history, history. This we must know and understand to speak positively of the future. And from last week's program, we were talking about the invisible man. And we learn things every day. We are reminded of things every day. And with the athletes taking the knee and the program of the owners to stop it by making a deal with the union. And Larry, I'm going to ask you to promise not to go off on this week. When I talk about the young men who have taken up athletics as a way of life. But that situation where they have successfully split the athletes, those who will go along with the agreement and those who will not. And it reminds me of what I would like to say to them. And I was talking to Betty, and I says, I don't want to become hostile, but I would like to ask them what they think Paul Robeson, the great All-American athlete out of Rutgers, the great artist, the great person who spoke out on human rights worldwide, what would Paul Robeson say to the owners? Paul Robeson, who was taken off of the All-American, the team of All-American players. Rutgers only has 10 players representing them because they took Paul Robeson's name off of that list of great athletes on a great team because of his conveyance of the humanist ideas, because of his involvement in the Communist Party. They took his name off of the list of history. And so again, we find ourselves and more people becoming invisible. And with today's situation, as Betty was talking about, the slavery coming out of the fall, the destruction of Libya, we learn more history. And the Arab slave trade coming through Libya was covered by 9 million black bodies out of black Africa in the slave trade. And somebody will say, where did the fortune for the Industrial Revolution come from? Came from Africa. 9 million bodies to work in this European world economic system. And as was said, there was no factory in Europe as big as an American plantation or contributed more money to this economic system than American slavery. And people say, well, slavery was a tradition, and you have to look at it differently. And my answer is, well, which of you would volunteer to become a slave? That is the answer. No one volunteers to become a slave. I don't care how you describe it. It is a despicable. No, I don't have the words for it. But what I do have is the words for a solution. People become slaves out of war. The winners take slaves. The losers become slaves. And I say, as a prospective slave, because out of the history of slavery, 9 million, I look like some of those 9 million out of Africa. And I know my answer, and I defy anyone to give me a different answer. That is, unless they're first willing to trade places and become a slave, unless they're willing to volunteer for slavery. Only armed struggle can recreate our image in our own minds, as well as the minds of others. Wake up. Now is the time. I'm going to, since I take so much time speaking at the beginning of the program, quite often we run out of time. So I'm going to try to wait, because I know some of the brothers and sisters on this program have very much to talk to us about coming out of yesterday's news, the day before, last week's news. I know the Green Party with Tom, he's waiting in the wings. I know Larry is waiting. I spoke to Joel. And so with that said, I'm going to turn it right back to Sister Betty. But I threaten you, Betty, I do not take myself out of the program totally. I hope to participate with those who are raising issues that are relevant to all of us today.
I thank you, Brother Ralph. And one of the things that interests me about this capitalist country is they claim to be founded on the Federalist Papers, the whole concept of the consent of the governed, and the whole idea of the people having a voice. And you can see, if you don't even have to analyze capitalism today. All you have to do is be able to read or listen, and you realize the 1% has, in effect, created a coup. None of us in the 99% have consented to be governed like this. And you know what the Declaration of Independence says when they violate your human rights like this, what you are obligated to do. Anyway, I want to, before we go down the list, I want to acknowledge that Tom's in the house, and Joel, and as usual, Ann and Larry, and we have a few other guests who were on last week, and especially someone is back who hasn't been here in a while. We can't wait to hear from him. That's Brother Tariq. However, Brother Larry, once again, thank you for not crowing tonight in terms of your analysis of the black athletes and their cause, but it should be interesting to know that the movement is beyond the owners of the teams, because recently a five-year-old took a knee. That is, she refused to stand up for the saluting of the flag in her first grade class, and she was yanked out of her seat, and thank goodness her mother was there to yank the person who yanked her out of her seat. And there's a petition online for this little five-year-old. That mother wants this person fired. And a cheerleader took a knee. And so it's out of control. The cat's out of the bag, and they can't pull it back. But Brother Larry warned us about the black athlete and their, shall we say, perfidy. So, Brother Larry, without further ado, the Black Panther and former political prisoner, Your mic is open.
And you promised
Thank you
to
very
be
much.
Cool.
Yeah.
What?
You promised to be cool.
And not beat us with a stick.
You all are entitled to absolutely your political analysis and perspective, which I certainly respect. I want to, as always, thank you, Sister Professor Betty Davis, you, Brother Ralph, and all of the panelists and or guests that will be speaking later. First of all, I want to express greetings from Brother Leonard Peltier. You all might wonder why it is that I, when I make reference to our various political prisoners, I always make sure I include Leonard Peltier. Well, one of the reasons is that I was in prison with Leonard. His lawyers and my lawyers were the same lawyers. We were in the same prison. They put us in the same supermax wing. And I have deep respect for our indigenous native brothers and sisters, and especially in this case for Brother Leonard Peltier. All power to the people. We need to free our political prisoners. I want to simply say and I mean all of our political prisoners, black, white, brown, red, and yellow, all of them. Now, okay, I want to say with respect to slavery, let us remember that Barack Obama, the so-called black president, all right, was the one along with Hillary Clinton, who were responsible for bringing blatant, I repeat, blatant slavery back to North Africa, specifically Libya.
Okay,
let's remember that. All right?
Right on.
And I do not want in any way, shape, or form for us to forget that. That's why this system, this sick, filthy system, made sure that they put this disgusting piece of manure known as Barack Obama in the White House, in quotation marks, okay, so he could do the dirt that others couldn't do, all right? They are responsible, Obama and Hillary Clinton. We now have blacks being sold literally on the auction block, okay?
Right.
In Libya, North Africa. Let us understand that. Let us never forget that. So I'm not down with the color game. I'm down with people, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people who are struggling for freedom and justice and independence. That's what I'm down with. So I just wanted to make that point very clear. And if... you know, if later on in the show, during the program, someone wants to draw me in on where I'm coming from on the so-called taking a knee, I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to leave it alone. I don't take a knee for nothing. I don't take a knee for nothing. I stand tall, just as Brother Huey and Bobby Seale and H.R.A.P. Brown and Kwame Ture and Paul Robeson. All stood up. There are many ways to protest, to demonstrate, to make our point, but I will not get on my knee for nobody. I will not do that. I will stand tall as a human, okay? And if people want to challenge me about that, then I'll be more than willing to come up with some suggestions, which I have been thinking about for many, many weeks, as to what these millionaire athletes could actually be doing in a proactive, real sense to serve the people, body and soul, black, white, brown, red, and yellow. So having said that, I'm going to just leave it alone, and I'm going to say that, you know, I'm going to just leave it alone and say all power to the people. Let's free our political prisoners. Free them from these death camps.
Yes.
Free them from these gulags. They have paid the price. It's time that all of us understand that that price is us, that have paid for us over and over and over again. All power to the people. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for that, Larry. And I must I must add on taking the knee. There was a incident in a high school situation where the cheerleader, the young woman, took the knee that Betty had referred to, and the coach had told the players to not take the knee. And so one of the cheerleaders spoke to the player, one of the black players, who said, you know, the coach told us we shouldn't take the knee, but as for you, keep on, sister. And so this is what Betty was referring to. The athletes can take more money. They can make deals. And let us remember, there were athletes who are not going to take the deal. And we have to remember, Kupernik has spent a lot of money for good causes. And so he has started a flame that can only grow, even though, you know, when I saw the agreement that they had put in front of the players, and I read that some of the players said they should go for this agreement, millions of dollars. I didn't follow up to see exactly how much it was, but I thought, what would Paul Robeson say to that? The greatest athlete of all, it's time to quit. And Sister Betty.
All right. As I said, Brother Larry was kind to us. He didn't spank us, but so hard. However, we've got Brother Tariq in the house. And we're eager to hear what he's got to say after having been away for so long. Before we go to Sister Ann.
Okay, peace.
Yes, peace. No, I say war. Peace that we have been suffering is insufferable. And so I'm not going to say how people should greet each other, and it this is the proper word for you and I. But to the world out there, war is what's on my mind. But go ahead, Tariq.
Okay, I am Tariq. I am a Black Panther. I'm a former Black Liberation Army prisoner of war. I spent 17 years in various American death camps. And tonight I just want to say nothing has changed in 400 years. I am a technological person. That is to say, I am into gadgets. Over the last 400 years, there has been the introduction of numerous gadgets, technological innovations. There was the introduction of the cotton gin, the introduction of the steam engine that powered numerous apparatuses, including the locomotive and the steamboat. There was the introduction of electricity that made possible the telegraph, lights, and the phonograph. Then there was the introduction of the telephone, the radio, and the television, and the airplane. Over the last 400 years, there has been numerous technological changes. Regretfully, there has not been a real change in the relationship between the ruling class and the ruled. 400 years ago, the ruling class extracted all the wealth they could get out of the rule. Today, the ruling class is still extracting every ounce of wealth out of the rule. 400 years ago, those who were ruled did not have enough to eat. Today, those who are ruled do not have enough to eat. 400 years ago, the ruling class was subjecting the members of the 99% to a training process. Back then, the ruling class trained members of the 99% to have an inferiority complex. 400 years ago, once the 99% had an inferiority complex, they did not think about revolting to break their painful relationship with the ruling class. Once saddled with an inferiority complex, members of the 99% went after expensive things rather than revolt. For more than 400 years, the ruling class have been training the 99%, and they are continuing to this very day to train members of the 99% to have an inferiority complex so they will live in this society empty-bellied without revolting. The most important task of revolutionaries is to undo the damage done to the 99% by the ruling class. Revolutionaries must now create loving people. It is loving people more than empty belly people who find unacceptable living in a torturous, in this torturous, murderous society. Free all prisoners of war. Free to, free Judith Clark. And I think that when you take a knee, you're going to have to pay consequences. And also, we got to know about that national anthem, too, that Francis Scott Key, he actually wrote a hate song. And in it, he talked about slaves, and he talked about the hirelings. And he that's what he's talking about, black people. But what he's talking about, he's mad about, is black people, when they were in the British forces, they burned down the White House and they burned down the Capitol. And Francis Scott Key was mad about that, and that's why he said black people will find no refuge, no place of protection, and no place to hide from them putting us in the grave. So Francis Scott Key's song is a hate song. So we want to think about that when we think about taking a knee. Thank you for listening. Thank you for allowing me to speak to you. Thank you.
Peace. Thank you for giving us more education. Education, 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 history, history, history will make us understand the need and the ways in which we must free ourselves from this oppression. Sister Betty.
I just want to say to Brother Tariq, thank you for recalling that connection between the militarization of the football arena and the Star Spangled Banner and the national anthem. The young lady, the young cheerleader who took the knee, said what happened was she wasn't political at all. And she went to her social studies class, and they started talking about that same history, Brother Tariq. And she said,
okay.
Oh, my goodness. And she connected that to black young men being killed every 28 hours. And she said, no, 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 enough is enough. I'll take the knee because I'm not singing this song anymore.
That's right.
And thank you. Continue, Sister Betty. Who
All
do
right.
we have next?
We have the one who is standing steadfast between our warriors who have been captured and the death camps. Sister Ann, your mic is open.
May I interject at this moment? Thank you again for that, Tariq. We've forgotten those people far away, a long time ago, and I'm glad you mentioned our dear sister Judy. You don't have her name
oh,
out
yeah,
there.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Ann, are you there?
Sister
Ann,
here.
From...
Yes, I am in the house. Jericho is New York City. Jericho is in the house. I wanted to read a poem from Jaleel Muntakim, author of We Are Our Own Liberators and Escaping the Prison, Fade to Black, because yesterday, as we all know, was the anniversary of the assassination of Chairman Fred Hampton and Captain Mark Clark, December 4th, 1969, right? So he had written a poem to them, and I thought it would be appropriate to read it. He says, Chairman Fred and Captain Mark, when they come in the morning, will you be ready? Before the rooster crows, like chickens coming home to roost, they always come in the morning, with their robotic, automatic, lockstep precisions, marching to a tune, abiding their nightmarish intentions like a theme to a horror movie. There was no knock on the door. The no-knock law was in effect before it became law. We always knew it existed, since no sanctuary was inviolable for as long as we inhabited the space where our breath took up space. For us, all of life had been an occupational hazard. They knew their target was a flag, a banner dressed in black leather, that the wind of freedom made it wave a flap like thunderclap, awakening the dead, the living dead, whose thinking embraced the lies that distorted our lives into inhumane shapes of catatonic likeness in Frankenstein's image. Before the dawn, they raided under the blanket of a star-fallen night, dispensing fright and murder and death. Their bullets flew like the spray of demented holy water to exorcise, to purify in the gospel of their racist might, sanctifying their existence, and two lay dead. They claimed a victory as if they won a bet, enriching themselves in blood. Like vampires, they fed an insatiable lust for power. The wind of freedom never ceased. The black leather flag draped over their coffins like a symbol to his immortal words. You can kill a revolutionary, but you can't kill revolution. You can jail a freedom fighter, but you can't jail freedom. So I just thought that would be appropriate for the anniversary yesterday Also, we do have a nice quote here from Fred Hampton himself. Fred Hampton says, "We have to grasp onto our leaders and protect our leaders before they're taken away. You've got to stop identifying people with being your brothers because they got the same skin color that you have. And you've got to stop getting hung up in a whole race question, because this is a class struggle, whether we want to face it or not. The Black Panther Party hears a lot of people saying, 'Let's fight fire with fire.' But we say, 'No, no, no. We're not going to fight fire with fire. We're going to fight fire with water. We're not going to fight racism with racism. We're going to fight racism with solidarity. We're not going to fight capitalism with black capitalism. We're going to fight capitalism with socialism.'" Fred Hampton.
Yes. Right on. Thank
All
you,
right.
Mr. Ann. Right on. And I think...
Okay, Nat Turner, our poet, is not going to be on this evening, but
it was good that I did poetry.
Wonderful, wonderful, from our poet on the inside that we do not get opportunity to hear. That is, these poems are so good that we have to read them twice. But I'm going to let everybody come on and introduce our next guest, because so much has been happening in the electoral arena. So much has and so much has not been happening. But we'll go to Brother Tom to give us information on the electoral arena.
Well, before we do, Tom, I want to thank you for that email in terms of the wealth of the working class being once again stolen. And I want to thank you for the email where allegedly Cuomo contacted the Green Party representative on the state level, Gloria Matero, to discuss the issue of the ecology. Evidently, it didn't do any good, because looks like that fracking legislation is going to go through. That fracking complex is all but built. That will go right through our water and through the best land where all our farms are that send food to New York City. Thank you again, Tom, for the information on the latest gentrification scam. So we say all of this to say Tom is on it. Brother Tom, your mic is open.
Thank you all for what you've said already. And that was beautiful, your quotation. And of course, Brother Ralph, his repetition of the necessity to know one's history, to know what happened in history. You know, we are preparing to celebrate the birthday of Jesus of Nazareth. Mm-hmm. And of course, we have this huge problem, and that is we don't really focus in on what people are the real heroes of history, mm-hmm. what they have said. Christmas has become the exact opposite of what Jesus preached. And of course, you cannot have a true Christmas in a capitalist system. Let's face it, capitalism perverts everything, religion, politics, everything. Now, I was asked to make a brief comment about the electoral system. You cannot have any kind of semblance of democracy in an electoral system with capitalism. So this election that we just had, of course, was a complete sham. And I'll just leave it at that. Now, Gore Vidal, he called this country the United States of Amnesia. And that's our big problem. We forget what real heroes in history said, all the way from Jesus, from Buddha, from Lao Tzu, from the great minds of the ancient world, all the way up through our own history of John of John Brown, of Paul Robeson, of all the political prisoners like Leonard Peltier. All of these people, we forget what they are saying. And what are they saying? Well, they are saying that this country has sold its soul, as Jesus put it. What does it benefit a person if he gains the world and loses his soul? It is harder for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go to heaven. We forget all of that, even though we're supposed to be celebrating the birthday of Jesus. And what are we really celebrating? We are celebrating nothing more than the accumulation of wealth and power. And of course, we see this so painfully in our government, whether it's a government run by the phony Democrats or the government run by the phony Republicans. It's all the same, as was pointed out before, when the stooge Obama and his handmaiden Hillary Clinton, what they did in their foreign policy, what they have caused in Africa and in the Middle East. And of course, they had, these people were stooges of the capitalist class. And that means that they have no choice but to engage in the last decadent stage of capitalism. And what is that last decadent stage? Imperialism. Imperialism cannot exist. Capitalism cannot exist without imperialism. Now, we see something very, very significant. We see a new light coming up from this, from the dawn. And that is, what is happening in Honduras?
Yes.
Here we have a country suffered over the years from U.S. imperialism, in which the Obama administration committed a coup d'etat to get rid of a democratically elected government in Honduras and put in a military dictatorship. And now they just had another election. Mm-hmm. And our government is siding with the party that has practiced the fraud in order to win this election. And the Honduran people have had enough. Yep. They have not forgotten what happened in history. They are rising up. But also, the police department, mm-hmm. whole sections of the Honduran police have returned to their barracks. They refuse to enforce a curfew and to oppress their own people.
Good.
This is the first step to a true social revolution. And we're going to see this throughout the world as imperialism begins to collapse. And once imperialism collapses, this whole rotten system of capitalism will go down with it. And we will be able to truly celebrate Jesus' birthday, and that is brotherhood and peace and goodwill to all men.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for that, Tom.
Really,
isn't that picture of the Honduran people standing up just does things for your heart? And then when you look at the whole picture, Honduras, what was American interest in Honduras? Well, the history of fighting against justice in Nicaragua. And you learn and you learn and you learn and you uncover one truth and it takes you to the next truth, and it must take you. It must take you to understanding the nature of imperialism and the nature of people and how we are all connected. And if we miss that point, that we're all connected, then we are in great trouble. I see a wonderful future. Sister Betty.
I want to thank Brother Tom, and I want to again remind people what the Declaration of Independence says. You have inalienable rights, and when the government violates those rights, you're supposed to overthrow it. That is
right.
Your obligation as a citizen of democracy. I just want to remind you that Rousseau said his social contract, it is unnatural to be a slave. And if anybody wants to be a slave, we've got to force them not to be one. So I want to, before we get to Joel, and I want to thank Larry Pinkney again, because as pointed out, this duopoly is one party. It's a party for the rich. And what Brother Larry did when he came, he campaigned to hold somebody on a local level accountable, gave them the support, and to hold them accountable, as Reverend Pinkney did when he did a recall. So we're not, we got some tools we can use if we're not ready to storm the barricades like Madame Lafarge. I want to say 718-8126, your mic is open. If you want to say a few words before we go to Joel.
Yes, hi. My name is Rocco, and I appreciate everything that was said, and I agree with a lot of it. I just thought I'd give my quick interpretation of history, something the way I see it, like we're here about selling a soul. If I look at history, we see that, you know, going back hundreds of years, these feudal lords owning everything. And what we see now is the victory of this bourgeois capitalist class, which only started a few hundred years ago. And that's what basically, when you say sell your soul, the only thing that mattered to them was just power and money. And everything else became expendable. That's why this terrible, terrible institution like slavery, because nothing mattered. They could just use human beings. They could use anything. So what we have going on in this country, just because, like the another speaker on this program, which I agree with, immensely, was about that nothing has changed. In this country, nothing has changed is because this bourgeois class took over, and they've been just, the only thing that matters is money, power, greed, and everything becomes expendable. Does it fall into racial issues? Yes, to a certain extent. But the main issue is who holds the power and how they just, everything becomes a commodity. That's basically the total corruption. That's my quick interpretation of history is the victory of the bourgeois class, and it became an international bourgeois class. That's a globalization, where it's an international bourgeois class controlling everything, if they could. And I want to thank everybody, and thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you for that. And we must understand, and I, as a person of color, say to other people who have been oppressed historically, if you do not have power, every gain is temporary. And so we must develop power. If you do not develop power, every gain is temporary. And so we must develop power as people. As somebody talks about peace and love, we must develop power in the name of Che Guevara, who understood love of all people. And so when we love each other, and I think one of the things I said, we will win when we are willing to win together. That is true love. And without much ado, I'm going to ask Joel if he's ready to give us his comments that we so enjoy every week. Joel.
But before that, don't forget Larry's phrase, cognitive dissonance.
Dissonance.
You vote for Obama and think that's going to solve your problem. That's cognitive dissonance.
Absolutely.
Joel, your mic is open.
Joel, are you there? Reminding people while we're waiting for Joel.
Joel,
go on. Give us ready.
Yes. Well, listening to this wonderful outpouring of ideas, and there's really very few other forums like this where everyone is coming more or less from a liberated mind, which is the first thing that we have to do. It's like if you want to run a marathon or something, usually you have to begin training and everything else. And it's the same with having a revolutionary and a liberationist politics, that a lot of it starts in the mind. You have to make up your mind to do these things and to swim against the stream, to not just take the easy way out all the time. I mean, not to make things more difficult than you have to, but you know that if the natural tendency in this society is for people to get caught into this downward hell stream where we basically lose our minds, we lose our humanity, and you take that word capitalism, it's almost like it means the worship of capital. Something like socialism, social is groups of people that are working together, that hang out together, that exchange ideas. And that's the other thing, the other alternative that we have. It goes one way or the other. Because capital is one thing, but it's something else when it becomes something that is worshipped and put über alles, above everything, money, money, money. Like people think that you go to college. And what are you going to college for? Well, you're going to be able to get a job with a corporation that's going to pay you more than they pay somebody that may not go to college and so on. And what are they going to be paying you to do? They're going to be paying you to be part of a machine of oppression, because that's what all of this finance capital is all about. It's about squeezing the wealth, the energy, the what could be the creativity out of people and just turning it into gold. You know, that Midas touch where King Midas, I don't know if people are familiar with that, but it was an old Greek myth about a king who had this ability to, everything he touched turned to gold. And it turned out that's what happened to his son. That's what happened to his wives. And they all just turned into this metal from the living things that they had been. And so we have that from the ancient Greeks. From the ancient Hebrews, we have the idea that you're not supposed to bow down before graven images. Now, most people interpret that to mean symbolic statues and so on of different religious deities. But if you reach into your pocket and take out a coin and look at that, that's a graven image. And I believe that that this was contrasted to seen as moving in a corrupt direction that upends the higher meaning of humanity and turns us all into graven images as if we were walking around like coins with legs or something, with no feeling, with no solidarity, with no interlinks, just with this money on the brain. And you know, I went on Thanksgiving Day. It should really be called Thanksgiving Day, I guess, because what it celebrates is the taking of the land from under the feet of the indigenous people that were living a real life here, that weren't by and large worshiping golden idols, or they had some form of money called wampum, I think, which was seashells, but it was a medium of exchange. It wasn't something that was bowed down before and worshipped and put ahead of everything else. And so I went to the what's called the Day of Mourning. And what that is, people may not know about that, but every year on Thanksgiving Day, there's a march on Plymouth Rock and through the city of Plymouth, Massachusetts. The rock actually is a something that was hacked together. It was not really like exactly there, and somehow the ship landed on it, or it landed on the oppressed people. It was an artifact that was created later as a tourist attraction, and it was a point when they tried to improve it. And they picked it up and split in two. It's a very symbolic story about the fraudulence of everything that was taught at Plymouth Rock. And this is a march that takes place every year. It gathers people from all over the world, and on the American continent, all the way down from PA. It was called the southern tip of Chile and Argentina, really near the South Pole, all the way from the northern reaches of Alaska. Oh, it's called the Tierra del Fuego, the land of fire. And people are gathering and telling the stories. There's like first the ceremony. And then there's a rally, and people tell the stories about all the indigenous struggles that are still going on today, all of the attacks that are going on, everything from Standing Rock, all the bleeding of the Earth as a planet, and the people that live on the Earth, again, under the imperative of turning everything into gold, this Midas touch. And it's an amazing experience for those who haven't gone, because you get you get in touch with that reality that's largely been blotted out. And you hear the people really speaking from the heart and embodying these this reminiscence that to most of us that are, we call ourselves civilized, but we hear people that are totally in touch with this original human spirit and who have suffered so many attacks and still to this day, there are many parts of especially the Western Hemisphere where the struggle against the native peoples is still going on with really genocidal proportions. And one of the themes that was spoken about this time also was this controversy about the Columbus statues. You know, that's another major fraud, this idea that Columbus was one of the really good guys of history, why he discovered this Western Hemisphere. And in reality, this had been discovered not just by the native peoples, obviously, but routinely there used to be a lot of trade that went on between Africa and what's today called the Americas. Of course, it's a lie. What was it? what was it called before Columbus or Amerigo Vespucci got here. It was that name has been imposed on it by the imperialists. And this is really where when you talk about imperialism, you have to go really like back into the roots of it. And that is when America was being colonized, and when the genocide was going on, when the land was being stolen, when even the buffalo were systematically killed in order to deprive native peoples of their food and so on. This is really the whole origin and birth pang of this country, which claims to stand for something higher, you know, claims to stand for democracy and everything else. And even for the most of the settlers here are ruled by this handful of people that have inherited the plunder and so-called wealth that they've stolen from out of the soil and out of the people genocidally to create the structure. And then from there, once it was consolidated, then that rebounded and spread itself around the world. And that's what imperialism is. So it's not just the latest stage of capitalism, it's the latest stage of colonization and genocide and slavery. Capitalism being it's more industrial consolidated form. But it's like industrial, what is that? Industrialism gives certain countries an advantage, like rifles and machine guns versus bows and arrows, for example, to by force plunder the rest of the world. They have all these religions. Yes, we're coming to Christmas and everything else. And I know that like a lot of anti-war demonstrations, somebody is carrying a sign of which country would Jesus bomb next? But that brings up the real absurdity and the hypocrisy of turning all of those humanistic teachings on their heads, that we're running around now voting for various Pharisees and Sadducees. Yeah. That were the biblical version of the Democrats and the Republicans today, although probably the ones today are even more depraved and inhuman and out of touch with the very idea or concept of a humanity. But it's another one of the roots, the Roman Empire and all of the enslavement and murder and plunder that was based on. And especially when you hear these people, like from the Christian right, when they really, in the name of that religion, they exalt everything in its opposite. Like if you take the most applicable and universally accepted three, say, of the Ten Commandments. Not all of them are as, we have to worship one God. But that's not taken that seriously. But thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. These enshrined human values. And you have a system, capitalism, which is based on stealing all around the world, enforcing that with murder, and then demonizing people that are targeted and exalting the worst killers and thieves.
I'm going to have to cut in on you. That's wonderful. You've touched on so many things. Let us not forget the culture that Christmas is. Lynn loved Christmas more than anyone, but she understood that Jesus of Nazareth was a prophet and an activist, and that Muhammad was a prophet and an activist. And She loved the culture and her belief in the people, and her belief in the good feeling that should come out of Christmas without the robbery, without the death. She was a true supporter of Christmas and an activist. And on that note, I look forward to hearing from you.
Agree on the station.
Classic rock.
Hip-hop. Pop.
Guys, quiet. The one thing we do agree on, we all want an awesome free phone. That's why we switched to MetroPCS.
Stop by MetroPCS with the whole family and get four free phones of your choice from brands you love, like Samsung, Motorola, and LG when you switch. MetroPCS. Wireless figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Free phone requires port. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Rush into Old Navy for gifts that keep giving, like cozy sweaters for the family. Today only, they're just $10 for adults, $8 for toddlers. But hurry, it's just one day only today at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 12/7, select styles only.